This is Emily Thomas, and you are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. Welcome, you guys. This is episode 63, and I am talking to my friend Kaylee Hodges. In this episode, she has a lot of really great wisdom to talk to us about, and I think that you're really going to love this. If you have ever been someone who really is addicted to the approval of other people, or if you've ever felt like you'd like to be better at helping people open up, like how to ask good questions, if you feel like your family could use a little bit of direction, or if you want to know more about what it looks like to really live in community with other people. Before we get started though, if you'll remember, I asked you guys to fill out a survey about the show because I'm trying to kind of gauge what's next for this podcast. I wanted to take a quick second and read some of the anonymous mom struggles that 100 of you have already written in. I'm not going to read 100. Calm down. Someone said their struggle is not losing their mind every evening between 4 and 6 p.m. Amen, sister. Someone else said, everyone is talking to me and touching me all the time. Yes, I get it. I feel your pain. Someone else said, the constant feeling that I'm not doing enough while simultaneously wanting to hole up and ignore my kids completely. Yep. Another mom said, I constantly battle the fear that I could do so much better, but also the fear that I have no idea how to do this job. Another mom said, I'm pretty sure I'm going to ruin my kids. And finally, someone said, toys and kids and mess and crumbs. Why are crumbs so maddening? I totally get it. They make me crazy. I read these just to let you know that if you could identify with any of those, you are not alone. This is hard because it's hard, but it's a really glorious blessing of a job. But heaven's sakes, we need each other or we'll lose our ever-loving brains. Head over to momstrugglingwell.com/survey to take a couple quick minutes and answer some questions about the show. It'd really help me out. Let's go ahead and get started with my interview with Kaylee.
Good morning, Kaylee. How are you today?
I'm so good. Thank you so much for having me.
Yay, you're welcome. I'm really excited to talk to you.
Thank you.
Will you tell everybody a little bit about yourself?
Yes, I am a stay-at-home mom of 5 kids under 7. My sons are adopted from Uganda.
Okay.
My girls are 3 bio girls that were all born within 3 years.
Oh my goodness. Did you plan that?
No, absolutely not. No. I say that 4 out of my 5 kids are an accident.
Really?
4 out of my 5 kids were a surprise.
Okay. That might be better than an accident.
Yeah, not an accident, but a surprise. They were pleasantly surprised.
But only the one, was it the first one that was planned?
Yeah. Well, I guess my first one was planned and then our adoption was planned. And then that was going to be it. And it was going to be adorable. And we were going to have a little girl and a little boy. And that's not how it worked out.
Okay. So how did you end up? I mean, because you can't accidentally adopt.
Oh, no. So we had just had our second kid in 2 years and our adoption was going really slow. And I called the office and I'm like, tell me the truth. Like, what's going on? And they were like, well, babies don't really need to be adopted. You know, they gave you the adoption ethics spiel that was at that time just coming to my awareness of like special needs and HIV positive and all this stuff. And so my husband and I prayed and prayed like crazy. And we kind of threw the door wide open on our home study.
For just kind of
like minor special needs and HIV positive. And, you know, our agency really was prepping us to have an HIV positive child.
Okay.
And I guess. Yes, it's just a funny coincidence. I really don't remember checking any box that said siblings, but I must have because I imagine my surprise when we got the phone call that it's brothers.
Wow. Okay. So what did you do? It's brothers. Were you like, no, that's not going to work?
Well, let me tell you, that happened on a Thursday and I wasn't. I was like, you know what? 4 kids is going to be super hard. But if this is what the Lord wants from us, we can do this, mm-hmm. Which was great because on Sunday, I took a positive pregnancy test.
Oh, my goodness.
And then after that, we just went out and bought a minivan and went for it.
It is what it is.
Yeah, it just happened.
Wow. Were you like laughing? Were you crying?
What? Oh, I was. Thursday, I was laughing and super excited because we'd waited so long for this. By Sunday, I was like face down on the carpet, like sobbing hysterically.
Wow. So much can change in a couple days.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there's a lot there. I have 2 kids. I feel like that's more. I think the minute that I had 2, I thought I'm a one child mom. One
right?
of you needs to be rehomed somewhere. This isn't going to work.
Yeah.
So 5.
Yes, it's as crazy as it sounds. I mean, that's the only way I can put it. The volume levels at my house are terrifying.
Okay.
To the uninitiated.
Okay.
Our backyard is big, and that is, I would say, probably the biggest blessing of my whole life is okay. that I can just like shoo them outside.
Okay, but you just found the freakiest snake.
Oh yeah, it was a 4-foot diamondback rattlesnake, which I'll have to tell you, isn't that uncommon around here?
Okay, where are you at?
I live on the corner of a small town in okay. Texas.
Oh, in Texas.
Okay. In Texas. Yeah, I live in Texas. But I live way up in the panhandle. So it's like the wild, wild west out here.
Okay.
And so I have a pasture on two sides of my house, basically. And they've always made it up to, like, there's, my neighbors are forever finding snakes on their back porch. And they've never made it over to our porch before okay. until last week. But we got chickens this year.
Oh, so they're coming. They eat chickens?
They eat eggs.
Oh, I was like, how on earth do they get
chickens? Which I'm like, straight up, eat my rooster if you want, but don't take my eggs.
That's the point.
Like, don't take the eggs. We need
oh
those.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so let me ask you, does the rooster wake you up at night in the morning?
It doesn't. And its coop is right behind my bedroom window. It crows, but I don't ever hear it.
Because you have five kids.
Because I have five kids.
That's why. When I lived in China, it was hard for me. I didn't love it. But we were also going through, I try to be like, it had nothing to do with the Chinese people. I just had to do with, it was super hard and we were dealing with infertility. So I just I had other things going on. But there were like four or five roosters that lived at the bottom of our building. And
yes.
they crowed all the livelong day. Like they were not discriminatory about the time of day.
Oh, yeah.
I never have wanted to kill a rooster so bad in my life.
Yeah. I actually studied abroad in Italy when I was in college. And of course, we were not getting home early or at any sort of decent human hour. But, you know, in Italy, they don't, like, the only way you get air conditioning is to open your windows.
Okay.
And so sure enough, at 3 or 4 o'clock every morning, our little friendly rooster right outside our window would start crowing, and it was not a good experience.
The same building that had all the roosters at the bottom was next to a firework factory that
yes.
tested every single night fireworks all night and roosters.
You're like, this is a little much.
My God. Hell's bells. No.
This is actual torture.
Yep. You got it. So funny. Okay, so what is something that your kids are doing that is making you just lose your brains right now?
Okay, so I would say the big thing they're doing is that they've just gotten, I gave them permission. This was a mom. This was a rookie mistake. Like, I should have known better. Like, I gave them permission to ask for a compromise occasionally.
Okay.
Like,
and by occasionally, they thought you meant
every time I tell them to do something. So, like, I was like, I wanted them to be able to express themselves. So I made this fool's mistake of being like, just ask for a compromise if you feel like we need to do something differently. And now everything is up for debate. Like, okay. I feel like I'm running a mini law school up in here.
Okay.
Like, okay, never mind. I'm taking your voice away. Like, we're not doing this anymore.
Sorry about that. Conform. Never mind. Just,
oppression is the way we're going. Like, sorry about you.
So what are some of the things they asked for compromises on?
Okay, so it's mostly my older daughter who is, of course, like, markers aren't good enough. We need paint too, or just three colors of paint. I'm like, no, are you crazy? Or it's almost always, you know, bedtime needs to be a little bit later, or coming in from outside needs to be a little bit later, or they're always trying to bargain for videos. Like, they want to watch Sid the Science Kid all day long.
Oh, Sid the Science Kid. Yeah.
I mean, I'll cave on that one because it's science. So, you know, I can read a book if you guys are watching Sid the Science Kid. So that's just good for everybody.
Yeah. I feel, yeah. When you said, like, they need to, I mean, I would let my kids sleep outside if they wanted to. Like,
yeah.
One time they wanted to camp in their backyard, and me and my husband were like, oh, that's fine. I mean, we have a, you know, tent. We put the tent in the backyard and let them camp or whatever. But we were sure they'd come in when it got dark and they got scared. And so when they didn't, we were like, oh, no, this wasn't the plan. We didn't actually want them to sleep outside all day. I mean, they're 4 and 8, like a little bit young for like by themselves in the great outdoors, even though it's in our backyard.
Like early survival skills.
Yeah, I was like, oh, this wasn't supposed to happen. We had zero confidence that you would stay outside. So then my husband, poor guy, didn't sleep all night because he was like going to check on him every hour. Just like, they're not supposed to be outside. Anyway, so.
I love it. That's awesome.
Parenting is.
Yes, it's a special thing. Like, you learn as you go, unfortunately.
For sure. Okay, so you told me that you love community. You love living on mission. And so I have
yes.
some questions about that. Number one, how did you discover what exactly is your mission? For a mom who's like, my mission is...
That's great.
Make some clean clothes be appearing in my house.
Right? So, like, we're just coming out of survival mode. I had newborn after newborn after newborn, and then we brought two little boys home from Uganda. So we were coming out of survival mode, and we were going to a church in a neighboring city. And we had lived in this house for like 6 years, and we kept saying, it's my husband's hometown, and we kept saying, this place is temporary. This place is temporary. This place is like, we want to move somewhere exciting. We want to go to Ethiopia or back to Uganda. And we brought the boys home, and we kind of sat down and prayed, and we were like, oh my gosh, we've lived here for 6 years, and we've never lived here. And it was super convicting, where we had just been like basically biding our time until something more exciting came along.
Okay.
But I had these five little kids, and I'm like, well, what exactly am I supposed to do? Like, I can't be out there doing anything huge. I have literally at that time, it was like 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1 year olds.
I mean, and because what you're doing at home is so huge.
Yes, right? It is. Yeah. So that's kind of where the Lord led us on that, was like, your table is your mission field. And so, you know, for a long time, that just meant we taught our kids. But over time, that grew to be, you need to invite your neighbors over.
Okay.
You need to have people from your community at your table. And as we've done that, of course, my kids have gotten more and more used to people coming over and what it's like to make meals and share the gospel in just really super relational ways.
Okay.
And so instead of like me being on a mission for them, we all get to be on mission together in our community.
Okay.
Which I love that.
Yes. No, that sounds super awesome to have people over and share the gospel and all that business.
Mm-hmm.
Then it also sounds super awesome. Awkward. Practically, how do you get around to spiritual conversations?
Okay. So I don't know how this was when you were growing up, but we were like big Romans Road people. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Explain it for someone who doesn't, but.
Okay. So when I was growing up in Sunday school and youth group, they were big on teaching us the Romans Road, which is like five verses from the book of Romans that starts out with like, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. I don't even remember them all. I could never remember them even back then. Like, it felt like a lot.
Okay.
And so I was a big fat Romans Road quitter.
A big fat quitter. I love that. Okay.
I was a big fat quitter. I was like, if this is what evangelism looks like, I'm out. Somebody who's gifted at that can take care of that. So it occurred to me at some point that like really the Great Commission is the thing we're all called to. So sometimes I think you just have to get over the awkward. However, I have just noticed in dinner conversations, I mean, nothing ever starts off with like, do you know Jesus? Most of the time, it's just talking about our lives and the choices we make and how we make our choices. And, you know, if you're talking to other parents, you're going to be talking about parenting and why you parent the way you do. If you're talking to your neighbors, they're going to want to know things about you. That's just the way conversation works. And, you know, with me and my family, we just choose to put Jesus at the center of our lives. I think most Christians try to do that. Mm-hmm. And so that comes out in our conversation. And it's a way of sharing what the gospel is actually doing in our life without like getting out our Bibles and having a reading of the gospel scriptures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause that feels forced and nobody likes.
Oh
that.
Yeah.
Okay. I just feel like it's easy to love your neighbors by like feeding them, but like to talk about things that actually matter, it's easier just to not do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Which I think is super helpful when you invite people actually into your home, because then there's an expectation of conversation and there's an immediate intimacy that you can't really create almost anywhere else. Like, for sure not in a public place or in a like I'm dropping something off scenario.
That's true. Very good point. What would you say for a mom who would love to have a community, but maybe she's had a really bad experience?
Okay. So this is super hard because I have to tell you that I'm like number one, like I'm out. Thanks. I quit.
Okay. So
like, you were awkward and you were hard.
You're a Romans Road quitter and a community quitter.
Oh yeah. I'm like, I'm just really, I'm a great quitter. Let me tell you that. But I would say this, it's worth it to keep trying because I will tell you, even now I live in a very small town and everybody's all up in each other's business and everything you've heard about small towns is true. It can be so super hard, but you just have to keep the bigger goal in mind. And what I've discovered is that once you start building relationship with other people, it's harder to knock it down than you would imagine.
What do you mean?
You know, a lot of the drama that happens between people or even just the weird awkwardness sort of starts to slip away once you actually start knowing people as people, as individuals. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you like to know about people that helps you kind of know them as a person? Some people really don't know how to kind of connect with other people.
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, I think it's just kind of goes back to, so I was in a sorority and during recruitment every year, which, you know, we call that socially brush, they would always say, just ask a lot of questions. And I mean, it's absolutely not okay to grill someone, but I think it's totally, people want to know, you know, what do you do for your job? What do you do for a living? How did you get into that? Mm-hmm. You know, just ask people questions about something you already know a little bit about, or I know you were new in town. What brought you to town? Or you've lived here your whole life. Has there ever been anywhere else you wanted to live? You know, it's just, I think just asking people questions, mostly they just take it and run with it from there.
Well, yeah, because they're their favorite person, right?
Yes, exactly. So, I mean, most of the time you don't even have to do a whole lot of prodding to get people to kind of take it and sort of show you who they are.
Good point. So you have a new project that kind of goes along with the community and having spiritual conversations with people and sharing Christ with them. Will you tell me about that?
Yes, we are starting. It's actually a project we've done on a personal and community level for several years now called the Christmas Light Project.
Okay.
And what it is super simple. It's weekly Advent dinners with your actual neighbors, which I have to tell you was super awkward the first time we did it. Like, we marched around our neighborhood and handed out invitations for everyone to come over for dinner on Wednesday nights.
Yeah, well, you know what? I don't know why, like, your actual neighbors aren't as cool as people who live across town seem.
Yeah, I know. Well, and I feel like we're all like, love your neighbors. And even the, like, Bible verse that the love your neighbors comes from was stretching us. Like, it was talking about how everybody's sort of our neighbor. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important, but I feel like sort of somewhere in that, our actual neighbors got lost.
I think that's a really good point.
And so the point is, you know, you have dinner with people and then you say, hey, since it's Christmas, we're doing an Advent dinner. We're going to light a candle. We're going to read a scripture. That's it. This isn't fancy. This isn't complicated. Okay. This isn't preachy. It's just all of us celebrating Christmas together as sort of a way to share the gospel in your neighborhood. And the reason we call it the Christmas Light Project is because we just have this incredible vision for, like, one house at a time, one block at a time, just shining a little light. And it wouldn't take much.
True.
You know, it doesn't take a huge spotlight. It just takes, you know, one little candle from each house that can manage it in each neighborhood, in each community, in each city to light the world. And that's kind of what we're going for.
Awesome. So what are the... So you're saying invite everybody to your house on Wednesday?
Well, any day,
a family?
No, what we're asking people to do is invite as many neighbors as they think they can fit, knowing, of course, that, like, if you invite 10 people, probably one will come because it is awkward. So go out, invite your neighborhood, have them over for one night a week, all of December, every week in December.
Okay. Is there, like, a book that you're releasing with it, or how does that work?
Yes, we are actually going to have a resource coming out in November.
Okay.
Just a simple little, like, how to do hospitality and how to do Advent. Nothing fancy or complicated, because the whole point is keep it simple. If you can't serve a dinner, serve some hot chocolate. It's not a big deal. We just want people in homes and hearing the gospel somehow or another.
Awesome. And are you using, like, a hashtag with it, or any way that people can know about it?
And we're actually just doing a newsletter. So you can go to the Christmas Lightproject.com and sign up for the newsletter. And we're hoping to get people connected from all over the country.
Ooh, I love that. Okay. Awesome. Well, I'm glad to hear about that.
Yes. Thank you so much. We're happy to do it.
And have you done it before? You said you've done it before.
Done it here in our hometown for the last 2 years.
And how has it gone? Was it as weird as you thought?
Oh yeah. I mean, the first year was super hard. Like, this is awkward. And not very many people came.
Okay. Well, then what made you want to do it the second year?
I just thought I still believed it was the right thing to do.
Okay.
And it's gotten better. And, you know, I feel like as we continue on, hearts will open towards that and be okay with that.
Did you do something different that made it better? Were you just in a different place?
I think I was just in a different place. We were a little more casual about it. And, you know, it just takes a lot of grace. Like, the Christmas season's busy. Some people might come over one week and never come again, and that's not personal. Or maybe it is, but you don't have to know about it.
No, you can just assume they had a business Christmas party to go
Exactly, through. Exactly.
For sure. So. Well, I love that. I love that it's obviously simple. You have a lot of kids and you're able to do it.
Yeah.
It's accessible to people. And I think that's great.
Yeah, I've never not burned a meal either. So it can't be my spectacular hosting skills that's bringing it in.
I love it. I so love that. Awesome. Okay, so you told me about something that your dad used to always cook, and I just have to ask about it, please, because I'm so curious.
Okay, so when I was growing up, even still, when we go visit my dad for holidays and stuff, he makes biscuits and chocolate gravy.
So is it amazing?
Wow. It is amazing. It's so amazing. But it's like the most redneck Southern thing ever.
It's a thing? Like he didn't make it up?
No, he didn't make it up. But it is a family thing for us. Like when my whole big family is together at reunions, like there's like competitions for who can make it the best. Oh, yeah. It's really intense. But
so what is in this chocolate?
I mean, it's basically chocolate pudding on top of biscuits is basically what it is.
Okay, because I'm thinking it's got like beef stock in it or something.
No. Okay. It's just gravy because it's sauce that you put on your biscuit.
Okay. Wow. That sounds fun. Okay. So everybody has their own like little twist to it and.
Yeah. Like some people like, you know, I like, of course, my dad's best of all.
Yes.
Because I'm indoctrinated. But like my dad's is sort of thick and kind of chunky.
Okay. Like a home style.
Yeah. Like some people have like runny or some people make theirs like darker chocolate. I'm of course, I'm 100% for my dad's. His is better than everybody else in the world.
Well, he would be so happy to hear that. Way to go. Loyalty.
That's right. That's right. Solidarity. Awesome.
Okay, so you told me that a struggle that you have as a mom is that you find that sometimes you feel desperate for approval.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Tell me about that.
It is, you know, I think it's the gripping thing that has sort of pervaded all my life, but it was easier to deal with or maybe easier to ignore when I didn't have five kids behind it. Mm-hmm. Because what I realized is I would change the way I was treating my family or my kids based on what other people in the room were thinking about me.
Okay. Or what you thought they were thinking. Yeah.
Yeah. What I thought, my perception of what they were thinking about me.
Like what's an example?
Let me think. Okay. So the first time I ever went to the park in the neighboring city, I always say this, I am a free range parent, not as a parenting style, but as a survival technique.
Well, yeah. How can you be anything else?
Exactly. So, you know, we would go to the park in the neighboring city and the moms there, it was just their culture that they would kind of like follow their kids around the park. And my kids weren't used to me doing that because I don't. I'm happily sitting on a park bench with a book or my phone scrolling Instagram.
Okay.
And then, you know, if a kid fell down or got hurt, they would scoop them up and they were so good about that. And I love moms like that. I really do. Mm-hmm. I just am not it.
Yeah.
And then I would find myself hovering over my kids and then they would get really frustrated with me because I would be making up extra rules so it would make me look like a good mom.
Okay. And they're like, why are you here?
Yeah. They would be like, that wasn't a rule yesterday. Like, why is that a rule today?
Oh my goodness. They're so perceptive.
Yeah. I'm like, you're not supposed to walk up the slides. And they were like, Mom, yesterday you were videoing it. And I'm like, don't call me out on this right now. Don't walk up the slide.
It's so funny.
And that's just a kind of a minor example. But what I discovered is, you know, for one, my kids are picking up on that. Mm-hmm. And for two, it makes me feel like an emotional train wreck. Okay. To need people's approval for every little thing. And it was kind of making us all miserable. And so I feel like my biggest struggle as a parent has just been learning to stand on my own two feet.
Okay.
And it's hard. It's hard not to want, like, I just want everyone to think I'm the best mom ever.
Yeah.
And for one, I'm not. And I know that.
I know. But you don't want them to know
that. I don't want
them
to know that.
So what do you do? How do you cope with it?
Oh, just I feel like it is just like ripping off a Band-Aid. Like every once in a while, I have to actually look somebody in the eye and be like, that's just not how we do it. And that almost makes me want to throw up to have to say that to somebody.
Has it ever gone as bad as you thought it would?
No, never. It never does. No, most of the time people are straight up like, okay, that's cool. Every once in a while, somebody will probe me a little further. But for the most part, everybody is okay with minding their own business in my experience.
That's good. So what is something that you do differently than other people do and you've had to become okay with it?
Oh gosh, let me tell you. I just have to say that like I have decided in my community, I'm going to be the person that sets the bar so low that anytime somebody falls short of their own bar, they can use me as their comfort. So like, I barely remember to bathe my children. Okay. Like, we're spectacularly bad at remembering to bathe. Okay. You know, I do. They are totally, I pretty much let them do whatever they want when we're at the playground, because the rules are, you know, if you play rough, you got to be tough. If you make it up, you're the one that has to come down. Like, we have a lot of rules like that that just mm-hmm. are sort of stressful for other people. But there's just a lot of them. I can't spend all day rescuing five kids at the same time.
No.
And so there's, yeah, I think it's just, we have a very relaxed style of parenting out of sheer survival technique that sort of stresses people out.
Now, is that your kind of personality though too?
Oh my gosh, yes. Yes. Okay. I'm like a dory fish. I can't remember one thing to the next. So I have to concentrate on very big picture items.
Like, okay.
It has to matter a lot for me to be able to be consistent with something.
Okay. So what are the non-negotiables, Dory?
Dory. Non-negotiables are kindness. You know, I don't mind what my kids do in the backyard if they're not being kind to each other. That's a non-negotiable.
Okay. How do you correct that?
Usually we just talk it through. I mean, even my smallest one is 3 and she can understand, like, Jesus wants us to treat people the way we want to be treated. Do you want to be treated that way? No. Okay. Moving on. Like, okay. It's usually a very simple, like, would you like it if somebody did that to you? No. Okay. Mm-hmm. Please go apologize. Mm-hmm. The other thing is we're working really hard right now on not destroying things.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
It turns out that is harder for us as a family than we thought it would be.
Okay. What do you destroy? What do they like destroying?
Well, I have to be, like, we live in a rent house and they destroy trees and plants.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
Yeah. So we've had to kind of watch that. Like, if they destroy their swing set, sorry, that's your problem.
But right. Yeah.
Like, you know, destruction of property because you were playing too hard, not really okay.
Yeah. That's tricky.
Yes. Yes. So really, we just want them to be kind. Is really the biggest thing. You know, we also homeschool, which is a little bit of a controversial decision in our community.
Is it really? Okay.
It is. Yeah. We still live in a community where that's a teeny tiny bit controversial. But, you know, even with school, it's pretty laid back. Like, you need to get your work done, but there's a big broad range of what that looks like.
Huh. Sounds like a really fun house to live in.
It sort of sounds like that when I'm talking about it. But I'll tell you, like, half the time, there's a lot of wailing and gnashing of teeth and tearing of clothes, rending of garments.
Yes. So. Everyone is covered in ashes.
Yes. You know, it's just we have five small personalities and 2 big personalities mm-hmm. to negotiate through school and through play and through work and through chores. And so really, our biggest rule of everything is kindness. Like, we just have to manage to get through this together without anyone ending up in the hospital.
Yeah, I think that's really valid. What do you all like to do together as a family?
I have been taking my kids for walks since 2 days after my oldest daughter came home from the hospital.
Okay.
All my kids except for one of them can ride a bike without training wheels, and we will walk laps around this town like it is Jericho.
Okay. Wow, that really does sound like a small town.
It is. So we will just go. We all like to be outside. We all love to be camping, but mostly, you know, that's not always available. So at any given moment, we will all drop everything and just go for a walk. That's a big thing we do.
That's good. It's such a good reset button. Get out of the house.
It is. And they can burn all their energy.
Yes.
So
you told me that you love Psalm 42.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have it there? Is it long? I can't remember.
It's not too long. It's the deer panting for the water one.
Okay. What do you love about that?
Okay. So I used to really love the first part of that psalm and had never actually read the whole thing about the deer panting for water. Okay. And that used to always be my prayer. Like, God, I just want you. I want you. I want you. I want more of you. And I was going through a super hard time of life after my third daughter was born and before we brought my boys home. And like one day I opened up to that passage and I was just shocked to see how much of it was about struggle and redemption and deep calls unto deep at the roar of your waterfalls and your breakers and billows have swept over me. And just the poetry of that psalm and mm-hmm. those deep places it reaches moved me to a point where I could not be unmoved from. Like, there is no point in time when I cannot open up those psalms and read those words and not be like, okay, okay. No matter how overwhelmed I am by everything else, I am free to be overwhelmed by you, Lord, right now.
Mm, yeah, because it speaks to his vastness.
Yes, yes. And just, just that overwhelming love, because I would say overwhelm is maybe one of the key struggles I have in my life right now. I always feel overwhelmed.
Yeah.
But it's just a solid reminder that no matter what else is taking me under, God is happy to reach into that deep, deep place and overwhelm me with his love.
Yeah, and completely capable to take care of all of it.
Yes.
He's big enough.
Yes, so absolutely.
Awesome. I love that. Okay, so you, I asked you what would an encouragement be that you would give to moms who are in that place of overwhelm, and what you wrote back was so hysterical. I don't have my phone with me right now to read it, but like, what would you tell a mom who is overwhelmed with her kids?
Okay, so this is just going to be in line with everything else I've said, but it would be lower your bar. Okay. Like, drop all the rules for a few minutes. Like, make absolutely set no standards for your children, for yourself, for anybody. Nobody needs to be clean. Nobody needs to be nice. Nobody needs to be doing anything. Mm-hmm. And then take a deep breath and look around, because chances are you're okay. They're probably doing better than you thought they were 10 minutes ago when you had a lot of expectations.
Yeah.
So for me, it's just helpful to remember that most of my expectations are mine. They're all mine. That's just something I hold to and cling to and want from other people. But they want, our kids are so human and they want different things for themselves. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, if we'll step back for a minute, even if they're arguing and fighting and fussing and making messes, they are in the process of becoming who God has made them to be and who they want to be. And it turns out that's a really cool and beautiful thing if you can manage it. If you can take a deep breath and just drop those expectations, have a few minutes with no rules, sit in front of the TV, eat popcorn in the living room, spill things on the floor. And then at the end of 10 minutes, turn around and say, okay, we're going to turn the TV off. We're going to pick up the popcorn.
That was
lovely.
And
we're all going to move on for our day.
And it's over.
And it was over. Yeah.
That's a great way to have a different perspective. Like, look at it with fresh eyes.
It is. It just, it calms everything. Strangely, to have no rules for a minute calms everything down.
Do the kids know there's no rules for a minute, or you're just...
Usually not. No. Yeah. Usually that's just a total mental shift for me. Now that now that I have a 6 and 7 year old, every once in a while they'll look at me like, is this okay? Like, you're letting us do this.
We have cut the tree down in the backyard, Mom.
Yes. Yeah. Like, what's going on? But, for the most part, it's just for me. It's just a mental exercise to make sure that we're all going to make it through the day, especially when I don't feel like I'm going to make it through the day.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Especially in the evening part, before dinner, I'll just be looking at the clock and my husband will be like, hang in there. Yes. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Was I looking at the clock again?
Yes. From 4 to 6. For a while there, I used to actually count down in minutes how long it was till bedtime. That hasn't happened in a while, but that used to be a real thing.
Oh, it's a real thing for me. Like, it was a real thing last night.
Yeah. It doesn't happen as bad right now.
Because by the end of the day, they get louder and I get less able to handle noise.
Yes.
As the day, wears on. So it's tricky.
Yes.
I literally have earplugs. I just put my bright orange earplugs in and they're like, well, and actually they don't do anything. They don't care. But I at least have a little bit. It's a little bit muffled. I can still hear everything. Sadly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So let me ask you, I have one more question for you. Mm-hmm. What is something you just can't stop talking about?
Oh my gosh. So I sent you something in and I'm going to talk about it because this is for moms, right? We're moms here.
Your secret's safe with us. We won't tell anybody.
Okay. I have to do this because I feel like it's important for people to know.
Yeah.
That I bought some Thinx panties.
Okay. So you have to, I have never heard of these.
Have you not? Oh my gosh. No. I'm going to have to say this out loud.
I'm so sorry. Okay. So they just like squeeze everything in? Are they like Spanx?
No, they're period panties.
Whoa, I didn't even know. Okay.
And they take care of your business without any extra things.
I don't understand. Okay, so then you just wash the whole thing?
Yep, you just wash the whole thing.
No way.
Yes, and I bought like 4 pairs and that covers me for my 3 or 4 days.
Okay. Are these new?
They're new. And I had like 22 Facebook ads before I heard somebody recommend them on the Sort of Awesome podcast. And I was like, okay, I'm doing this because I'm tired of, for one, I'm like a Dory, so I forget things.
It's a problem.
Yeah, it's a problem. And for two, like just the trash and the, I don't know, like it all kind of,
I always
know,
forget to buy them.
Yes, all the things. There was just a lot of things involved with that. And this seemed like a simpler solution. And I went for it. And it has been revolutionary.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So how long have you been having
this? This month will be my 3rd month.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. And it's still completely
perfect. It's so amazing. Like all day. Hey. Amazing.
Well, that is something I am going to be Googling.
So yeah, look into it. But I'm telling you, ladies, if you want to make your life a teeny tiny bit simpler, this is the thing. If you can mentally get over the hurdle.
That would be a hurdle. Yes. Yes.
Which I feel like is probably the biggest thing. Like,
okay. And this is too much information. I'm a nurse, so I don't care, but I feel like it's too much information for the masses, but does it feel gross?
No. No, okay. You can't feel anything, and they feel like normal underwear. Like, there's nothing diaperish about it.
Not diapery, huh?
No, they feel like nice, expensive underwear, and you can feel nothing and see nothing.
Feel and see nothing.
Yes.
Amazing.
It's incredible.
Are they like $700?
They're like $22 to $25 a pair, which is a little expensive, but kind of depending on what you're spending every month anyways.
Yeah. Well, what do they last for infinity, or do they last for, like, what do they say?
They say that they'll last for several years, and mine haven't seemed to have, after, you know, 3 months of use, mine haven't seemed to have decreased in effectiveness at all.
Well, I hope not, because that would be a real, real bummer.
I was willing to try. I was willing to take one for the team on that one, but I was pleasantly surprised.
Well, Kaylee, that is certainly new information.
I hate that I'm the one that had to do that, but, you know, somebody's got to tell the truth.
And I appreciate you going to the hard place.
I do what I can.
So good. Awesome. Well, Kaylee, thank you for talking to us. It was so fun.
Thank you so much for having me.
So fun. Yay. Well, enjoy the rest of your day.
All right. You too. Okay.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Such good stuff. I really loved how God built Kaylee's family. It did not look like they expected at all. I know that for us, that's our story too. And for a lot of my friends, it didn't go like they thought. So that God's a funny one. He's got a sense of humor for sure, right? I also loved her idea of keeping the bigger goal in mind. That just works for all the things, right? Kids, marriage, our jobs, our friendships. What is the big goal here? Sometimes we get caught up in the minutiae and that gets us way off course. So let's pull out some possible strategies to struggle well this week. Maybe you can write a family mission statement. As our families get bigger and as they get older, we need some clarity regarding what to say no to. It also helps build a team feeling when you all know you're on the same page and you know what your goal is. Maybe you lower your expectations for like 10 minutes on a really stressful time of day and look around as an outside observer of your kids, not as their mom, for just a second. See if maybe it isn't quite as bad as you thought. When I was in nursing school and we would talk about how to chart in your job, you have to write down everything that happens, and you are not allowed to say judgmental things about the patient because it could be used in a court of law, and it's just a jerky thing to do. But I promise you, when you're a nurse and you're trying to do things for the patient's best interests and they won't listen to what you're saying, it's very frustrating, which is kind of exactly like being a mom. And so they taught us ways to write things down that were not judgmental or rude. And one of the things that one of my teachers said was just to write down, the patient has other goals. And I thought that was so irritating, because that doesn't mean they're good goals, but it makes me think of my kids. A lot of times I will tell myself, they're not bad, they just have other goals. So I think lowering expectations for a moment and taking a look as an outside observer and realizing it's not us versus them, they're just into their own things that usually don't make any sense, right? Okay, so also Kaylee mentioned how seeking approval has been a theme throughout her life, but that it was easier to ignore before she had kids. So maybe this week you think about, what in life are you seeing more intensely now that you have kids? A guy I knew used to always say that hot water is what tells you what's in a teabag. And y'all, kids are hot water, and it tells us what's in us, and it's not always pretty. For me, I lead a group through a Christ-centered recovery program. And my thing I've noticed through going with that program is that my thing is fear. I forget that I can trust God to provide for me and protect me. So I control, and I get really angry when I feel scared that God doesn't have it all together. So kids definitely brought that out, the anger and the control in me. So what is it for you? Maybe you loved what she was saying about the Christmas Light Project, and you feel like God's telling you to just get awkward and participate in the Christmas Light Project in your neighborhood this year. And for those of us who are Christ followers, y'all, we are all called to love other people really, really well, and then to tell them why it is that we're the weirdos who love people really, really well. At church, we're going through Acts, and we just got to Acts 8, and that is a place where God told Philip to go into the desert. Philip didn't know why he was going into the desert. It didn't really make sense, but he didn't argue. He just went. And when he went, God told him to go up to this certain chariot and kind of go alongside the chariot as it was moving. And he looked in the window and he saw a guy reading from the Bible. And so he started talking to a guy as he was running alongside a moving chariot and asking him, hey, do you know what you're reading? And really just started doing things that I think if we were to think about that, that is super weird to run alongside a moving vehicle and try to tell someone about Jesus. Super awkward. But that is what God asked him to do. And God was at work and he had a reason for asking Philip to do that. So sometimes it's super weird, the things that God asks us to do, but we need to step out in obedience. Sometimes it's also super awkward to step out in obedience and do something and say something that we really don't feel like doing or saying. When I was in China, God did this to me where I was walking along. I mean, I don't hardly speak the language. And there was this tofu stand. They like sell it on the side of the road. And I felt like God told me to buy this tofu on a stick and give it to this woman who was clearly, she had lost her mind. And so she was homeless and she was talking to herself and you could tell that she was not able to care for herself. And I just felt God tell me like, go buy that tofu and give it to that lady. And that's like, that takes a lot of barriers. I've got to go bargain for something in a language that's not mine. And then I have to go walk up to a lady who she can't understand me and I can't understand her. And what's she going to do? What is she going to hit me? Is she going to laugh at me? Like, I don't even know what's going to happen, but I felt like God told me to do that. And so I did it. I was super sweaty and nervous. And she didn't know what was going on enough to even really care. She may not have even eaten it. I don't know. But I looked up and across the street, and in China, there's like so many people on the street. The streets are just filled with everybody walking around. It's always busy all the time. But as soon as I gave her the tofu, I happened to look up and I saw this guy across the street looking at me, and he gave me two thumbs up. And then he just kept going on. And I just thought, huh, I don't know why I was supposed to buy that one lady tofu, but I have a feeling it wasn't for the lady, but for the guy across the street who I never talked to. I don't know. So I just think when we are obedient, it is going to be awkward. It is going to look weird, but we don't know what God's doing. He might be doing something in the life of the person that we're doing the thing for. He could be doing something in our lives. He could be doing something in a random life of a random guy across the street. You know, you just don't know, but we are called to be obedient. And there's a lot of freedom and blessing in that. So if you feel like God has put on your heart to do this Christmas light project or do something else, not just at Christmas time, heaven's sakes, we need to be doing this stuff all year long. But if you feel like God's leading you to do something in obedience and you feel like that's super weird, you might be exactly on the right track. And if I can just tell you, that is why I started this show, out of obedience, not because I super wanted to. I did not want to talk about being a mom. And I did not want to have a podcast, and I've done that, and I don't know, it's been a blessing, at least in my life a lot, and I've gotten a lot of feedback from you guys that it's been a blessing to you too, and so obedience can be super scary and weird, but it's good. All right, so we are in the holiday season. You're going to be doing your shopping. A really great way that you could help support the cost of making this show would be to do your shopping on Amazon with the Mom Struggling Well affiliate link. So you can go to momstrugglingwell.com/Amazon, and that will take you to the regular Amazon page, but it will give a tiny portion of the percentage of what you buy to the show instead of just staying with Mr. Amazon, whatever his name is. But it doesn't cost you any extra, and it's a blessing to the show. Also, if you guys could, so many of you have taken the survey already. It's anonymous. But if you could take a survey and tell me, like, what are your thoughts about the show? What could be better? What do you like? What could you do without? You can take the survey at momstrugglingwell.com/survey. And if you take it this week and then email me at hello@momstrugglingwell.com and just say, hey, I took the survey, then I will enter you to win a mug and I'll draw that and announce it this time next week. I've really appreciated all y'all's feedback. It's very helpful. And because it's anonymous, I have no idea who you are. So please be honest, okay? You can find me and connect with me mainly on Instagram, but also on Facebook at Mom Struggling Well. I really love the community that's building over, especially on Instagram and especially the chats that we have on Wednesday night. So super, super good. I'm praying for you ladies, specifically when you asked me to, but also in general. I'm thankful for all of you. You're doing a great and very important work. And I hope you have a really wonderful week of struggling well.